This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
We're on to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is celebrating with a huge odds boost for new customers. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, you can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and get $280 in free bets if your team wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps and get 50-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
For the Drive's top five at five.
Welcome back. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio, quitting time on your Thursday, 5 o'clock. Here on The Drive, and time for your top five at five, brought to you this afternoon by Les Turner at Right Approach Financial. Here's Jake Miller.
Thank you, Russell. Up first, highly touted wide receiver transfer Isaiah Nayor has decommitted from Tennessee and will continue his college career at Texas. He visited Ole Miss before landing in Knoxville this week, and the announcement was made on Twitter just hours ago.
I think this was a gut punch for the Vols. Apparently, he'd been talking to Hooker and Heupel and a bunch of the guys here, like, on his visit and telling them that everything's fine. And he just up and broke their hearts. I mean, fellas, if you're
in a toxic relationship,
yeah, your girl's going out with another dude, but you're texting her and she's like, "Oh no, I'm just using him for a free meal. You're still my man."
She lying.
You getting played.
Getting played hard.
The word commitment is very loosely defined these days.
This is true.
In all facets of life. With that being said, after this, I don't want to. I'm myself personally. I'm not going to waste any more time worrying about it. I mean, it happened. Sucks, but you know, one player's not going to make or break next season.
Hope not. Hope not.
And number two, Coach Zach Taylor announced that Cincinnati Bengals defensive end Trey Hendrickson has cleared the concussion protocol and will play in Saturday's divisional round playoff game against the Tennessee Titans.
You don't want to risk it, man. A head injury is very serious, Trey.
Yeah, you think don't want to end up like me or Bear.
Exactly. Think so about your long-term
going up
health.
Against? Who will he be going up against?
The Titans.
No. Which
talking about
which
like offensive line matchup.
Maybe matched up with Luan.
Luan or Questenberry.
Maybe a shame if he got slobber knocked early in that game.
I wouldn't chance it myself. Think of your kids.
And number three, Brooklyn Nets guard Kyrie Irving has been fined $25,000 for directing obscene language towards a fan. The NBA announced today. The incident occurred with 4 minutes and 19 seconds remaining in the second quarter of the Nets' 114-107 loss to Cleveland. A fan courtside could be heard heckling Irving, who responded with obscene language.
All right. I have a very strong opinion on this.
Okay.
It may come as a shock because I've never been a huge fan of Kyrie Irving's. This is a load of bleepity bleep bleep bleep.
Agreed.
That he's getting fined when some jackass fan can sit and run their mouth at him. And I don't have a problem with anything he said.
Agreed.
You probably can't repeat what he said, but I mean, was it just
it
like
wasn't
some F-bombs?
That bad, it Jake? Was it?
I don't think it was that bad.
You got it right there. You can clean it up for radio easy.
I mean, I've said worse to parents of tennis players in high school.
I've said worse to you guys before we go on the air.
What was it?
Can't remember the exact quote.
Oh, God. All right. Well, I don't have problem.
We'll come
with
back to it. I'm going to look it up.
League.
But it wasn't that bad. This caught me by such a surprise. I had no idea that they would fine him.
And number four, Kendall Briles has reached a new deal to remain as Arkansas's offensive coordinator after being pursued for the same job at Miami.
Miami can pursue him. I saw this on Clint Sterner from Arkansas showed up my feed, and some Miami fan was going after him, and I got involved in it. That would have been a step down.
Think so?
Yeah.
You know, a lateral move at best.
Program's trending and all the momentum they've got going and the transfer portal kids coming in, and he's got a really stable head coach with Sam Pittman, and
they're in a better spot right now, but
they're in the SEC.
Well, you're in the SEC
Miami's
West.
A train wreck.
All right.
Train wreck.
And for number five, we go to a waste of your tax dollars in Pickens, South Carolina. Police arrest Elsa as a prime suspect behind the winter storm. After a snowstorm froze over the eastern portion of the United States, South Carolina police released body cam footage showing the arrest of the well-known Ice Queen from Disney.
Body cam footage, huh?
Body cam footage. What a waste of your tax dollars.
Hey, man. Good thing those body cameras work. You keep Elsa and the Ice Queens under wraps.
Hey, I've got the quote for you. It's pretty short.
Okay.
Got y'all the championship, and MF'ers still ungrateful.
He ain't wrong. He won that championship. LeBron didn't win that title.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with the fan talking trash or him talking trash back. You're going to talk trash, they're going to talk trash back to you, man. Who cares?
Find that guy for that.
NBA
Incredible
is so concerned.
The MF word.
Thank you, Jake. That is the top five of five. It's brought to you by Les Turner, Right Approach Financial. And you are running out of time, folks, to get that free meal. Two opportunities next week at Rothschild's Catering and Conference Center, Tuesday at 6:30, and then again on Thursday at 7:30. Les Turner holding a free seminar, and they're going to feed you a free gourmet meal at the conclusion of the seminar. They ask you right about 15 minutes early. He's going to talk to you about strategies to lower your taxes this year, ways to increase your retirement savings, and a couple of other interesting financial topics here in year 2022. This is a great opportunity for some of you younger folks who maybe haven't started saving for retirement, or you just started and you still have some questions. You just don't know a ton about some of these things, IRAs, 401ks, things like that. Les can answer your questions and show you the way to get started with the right approach for your financial future. Check him out online, rightapproachfinancial.com, to RSVP for either a Tuesday or Thursday next week. Rightapproachfinancial.com. Go ahead and get signed up there. All right, we're going to go open lines the rest of the way. You want to jump in, take a shot now, 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show, 546-8200. Let's start with Westchester. Good afternoon, Westchester. You're on the drive.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are we doing today?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
I'm doing better. I feel like I'm up on the upside of the Rona, so I'm doing better.
Hey, good for you, man.
Nice, Westchester. Rough.
You survived the death spore of 2022.
Dude, it was rough. And I'm glad I was vaccinated, because I could see myself going to the hospital if I wasn't. I'm not trying to get political here, but what I went through was rough enough. I couldn't imagine it being any worse. So, guys,
just stay healthy, buddy.
Thank you, Barry. I appreciate that. Russ, a little bit of snow starting to fall out your way. So just be aware for the drive home. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Check my weather out.
It's only like 29 degrees outside, man. I mean, good grief. Frigid.
28 with a feels like of 19. Gabriel out there basking in the warmth of the California sun.
Russ, so jealous. You want me to talk about Jimmy's phone call, or talk about how you misrepresented Bon Jovi first? Which one first?
It's your phone call, brother. You do what you want.
Well, I'm the Bon Jovi advocate here, so I'm going to teach a little history here. Wanted Dead or Alive came out in 86 on Slippery When Wet.
Really?
And then because of the line, Steel Horse I Ride, they rewrote the song for Blaze of Glory, and that was the Blaze of Glory main song. So, just so you know, it was not written, but it still is a jam, by the way. Absolutely a jam. Anything by Bon Jovi is a jam.
I would disagree a little bit there, but that particular song I can go with. When he gets onto It's My Life, I'm like, okay, Bon Jovi, it's time to hang up the guitar, and Richie Sambora can go with you.
After he cut his hair, yeah, I kind of agree with you a little bit. But, yeah. Yeah, after he cut his hair, he kind of sucked. But I can go with that. You said earlier that we wanted to rank SEC basketball coaches on their body of work, right?
Well, we can. I mean, it's two different conversations, I think. We were asked by Billy Stats to rank the coaches in the SEC, and my first question is, based on what? Because if it's body of work and how good a coach they ultimately were, that's a different conversation than which of the coaches that are coaching right now would I most want to have coaching my team right now?
Well, I agree, but it's actually three questions, because the body of work overall or the body of work in the SEC? Because the
overall.
SEC is a different – no, well, no, it has to be three different, because the body of work in the SEC is a wholly different animal. Because Barnes was a lot better before he got to the SEC.
Yeah.
But when he got to the SEC, I hate to tell you, but, you know, well, the Jennies, I mean, and all of them are right. You know as well as I do.
No, I'm not arguing that. I
Barnes
mean, that's
is
a,
better.
That's a third conversation. But, Barnes not just at Texas. I mean, he's been around the block for a long time, has been – very successful. So I'm just looking at, and again, man, I'm not.
But
this
what
is
he
not
in the SEC versus
okay,
versus Pearl. Obviously, Pearl's better in the SEC than Barnes is, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I would say so.
So if the body of work retains to just the SEC, then that's a different conversation.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm looking at the whole thing. Rick Barnes is coaching a bunch of different leagues. Bruce Pearl's really. I mean, he's coached in different leagues, but really most people know him from his work in the SEC.
You're kind of grabbing the straws there a little bit, Ross.
No, I'm not, man. I'm not. This is not me going to the mat for Rick Barnes. I told you, if you're going up based off who I would take to coach my team right now, he is a distant fifth at best, maybe sixth behind Pearl, Oates, Musselman, Cal, and maybe even Will Wade. So
I'm definitely behind Wade.
I'm just taking a different look at it. I mean,
you got to look at his whole the entirety of his career. Is it, when you're making this distinction, Westchester? I mean, you guys are kind of forgetting that, you know, he took Clemson in the early '90s and turned them into a powerhouse, and then went to Texas and, you know, had hit a Final Four, and I mean, he's put. Close to, I mean, what's he up to now? Like 35 first round draft picks into the NBA. I mean, he's an elite level coach.
35. But
we got him on the. We got him at the 35. End of his career. But he's got us in the top 25, and we look like a tournament team, even though we're probably not playing as good as everybody would like right now. But and he got. Take a step back and look at the whole picture here. And again, Russ had him at a distant fifth or sixth as far as who he would hire. You'd hire Bruce Pearl or Cal.
As long as he's below Pearl, we're having the same conversation. Pearl's a better SEC coach than Barnes is, period.
That wasn't – okay. That wasn't the question that Russell posed to everybody.
I know it wasn't, but that's what I was asking. What is the body of work in just the SEC or body of work overall?
It's his career. You sometimes pay less attention to Russ than I do, and that blows my mind.
Guys, I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe it's the fever and the corona speaking. I don't know. I just think that you can't argue. There's no argument that Pearl was a better SEC coach than Barnes was. And I don't think Barnes is going to do enough to ever overtop him, especially where he is right now. I mean, do you think that answer changes at the end of the season?
Nobody's arguing that, Westchester. I don't know why. I don't know why that's important, quite frankly. I mean, we're nobody's arguing otherwise. Yeah, Rick Barnes, Bruce Pearl's been more successful than Rick Barnes in the Southeastern Conference. It's obvious.
Yeah. And always will be. Thanks, guys. Have a good show.
All right. Appreciate it, man. Well, this is a big game for him
because this Will Wade thing has gotten out of control, man. He's just had Barnes's number, and a win.
I'm sick of it. I'm sick of that guy. I texted you in one of our groups last night. I would like nothing more than to see Will Wade have to fight Russell Smith. Just watch you tool him up. I can't.
You have to do all your damage up top, man, because like you try and throw a body shot, your fist might get lost in a blob of blubber. You think Will Wade wears a man's ear on the sideline?
I don't know about that, but he ought to try putting on one of those, what do you call them, myrtles or man girdles.
He's an interesting physique. I empathize as a tall guy who's both simultaneously fat and skinny. Mm. But
a skinny fat guy.
He's got a skinny fat guy. They're out there.
Yeah, I know a couple. I got a question for you. I wish I'd remembered it before the show. It could have been our hot question about Will Wade. If he was Tennessee's coach, Russell, would we love him as passionately as we hate his guts?
Of course. Absolutely.
Like if they had hired him when we could have instead of Tindall. Remember when he's at UTC and there were some people, Willie. Will Wade's was a Willie.
Willie loved Willie.
Yeah, Willie loved some Willie Wade.
I remember our guy Chris Dortch was a huge Will Wade guy, too. Like, that was his dude. Several times when the Tennessee job was open. It was like, you need to go hire him. No, I think he's backed off that a little bit.
Well, I mean, we didn't realize he was going to be this openly dirty, but you could see the guy was a winner. He's won every place he's been.
Hey, if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
I'm so interested to see. Next to our situation with football and Pruitt, like that's the one. How is that going to end? How does that end? Is he really going to wriggle off the hook and keep that job?
I mean, if he does, how in any kind of sane world could Tennessee get hammered and LSU skate scot-free on the FBI wiretap stuff in their basketball program and the embezzling money from either the children's hospital or the cancer, whatever it was, some kind of, Charles Dickens level of just evil.
Well, if we're being honest about what probably should happen, if we're redoing college sports in America, and we are, and how we pay for it and how we play it and all the rules and how we enforce the rules and all that stuff, then what probably should happen if we want Tennessee to wriggle off the hook, and we do, obviously, is
clean slate for everyone.
Yep. He gets to keep that job down there and they don't have to pay a price for the strong ass offers, and Tennessee gets to put the Pruitt mess behind them, and we fired Pruitt because he sucked and they kept Will Wade because he doesn't suck, and we just move on. And at this point, I'd be fine with that. As much as I want to see the claw marks on Will Wade's back and see him get his comeuppance,
I'd rather us put this crap behind us so we can get back to getting players in here.
Let's get Will in here next. Good afternoon, Will.
Will drop. We got TJ.
TJ, the Kentucky fan. Good afternoon, Tej.
Hey, what's up? I'm good with that plan as long as Louisville still gets the death penalty. That's all I'm waiting for, baby. Hey, look, I think I was listening to your voluntary reaction of the Oregon State game, and I heard a caller call in. I was bored last night, but I heard a caller call in and say something about Rick Barnes flirted with UCLA, and then you guys basically gave him a lifetime contract. Is that true, or I'm not following?
Not a lifetime deal. They gave him a big deal. I think it was 5 years, $25 million, which at the time was ginormous for Tennessee basketball.
Gotcha. Well, here's the thing. If I can be honest real quick, John Calipari also flirted with UCLA, and as soon as he did, I mean, he even went to UCLA and talked to them in person, and as soon as he did, he got a legitimate lifetime contract and agreed that he would coach there until he retires. I think a lot of coaches do that.
I think if you're making that much money, you also would do that as well, especially if you have a family and stuff like that. But as far as I'm concerned, if I'm starting a basketball team right now, number one, I'm going with John Calipari because he's the only one in the SEC with a national title and like five Final Fours. But I'm also going to look at Nate Oates because he's only 42 years old, 47 years old, and Calipari's 63. So that's just my opinion.
Oh, there's no doubt Pearl and Oates are my top two. If I got to hire a coach today.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd still hire Cal first. He's much more he's on a whole nother level from those guys. He's won.
But you're saying right now. I mean,
multiple Final Fours and national champ. I don't care. I'd still take Calipari right now.
But that's been, 5 years ago? I mean, he's like, Pearl's been to a Final Four since him.
Nate Oates is going to get there.
Calipari's kind of Pearl's kryptonite, isn't he?
I feel like he has a pretty good record.
What's Pearl? You go look at Pearl's record against Coach Cal.
Bet you he beats him Saturday. How's that stretch?
Hey, where's that game at?
Down
I
on the plains.
Can't wait for that game.
I don't know. It all depends which Kentucky team comes out. The one that can shoot lights out or the one that came out last night down there in College Station looked like garbage. They were lucky to get out of there.
Hey,
but A&M played really high-level defense.
Speaking of last night's game, that was, I think every team needs one of those games where nothing goes your way, but you still win because it gives you some, confidence going into the tournament. And real quick, I'll get off here. What is your guys' opinion of the reclassification early? Guys, I don't know if you've heard or not, but now the whole drama with, I'm not going to mention it. I know this is a Tennessee show, but a certain basketball player reclassed, got to campus, and now he is magically eligible for the draft. So there is rumor that he will just sit out this year, go to the draft, and never play college ball. What's y'all's thoughts?
Wait a minute. So he reclassed. So he's still 17 or is he 18 now?
It's Shaden Sharp at Kentucky. He's 17.
Well, the way the rules are written, I don't have any problem with it.
You have to be 19 in order to play in the NBA. Now, he can play in the G League.
Or complete 1 year of college.
I'm not a fan of it, TJ. I think a high school kid, I think kids should go to 4 years of high school, man. I'm just old school like that. I don't like this getting out of school early and starting college early. But that's just me.
I agree with you. Hey, y'all have a good one, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show. 546-8200. We'll take a quick break. More of your phone calls coming up.
The Drive.
So you're watching the game and you see another. The Docket brought to you by Fox and Farmer Attorneys at Law. They win for East Tennessee. Kansas City Chiefs linebacker Willie Gay on Thursday afternoon pleaded not guilty to a misdemeanor charge of criminal property damage of less than $1,000 after he was arrested last night by police. As of this morning, 23-year-old Gay had remained at the detention center in Johnson County, Kansas. He's expected to be released this afternoon. His agent said in a statement that Gay was visiting his son when he got into an argument with the child's mother. A police report estimated the total property damage at $225 for a vacuum cleaner. Also damaged was a cell phone screen protector, a humidifier, and damage to a wall and door frame. Mother of Gay's 3-month-old son had requested a civil protection order, which means Gay is not allowed to have contact with either of them until the case is heard by a civil judge. So obviously he missed practice today.
I think it's only, I'm not saying, I definitely think he needs at a bare minimum a 2-week cooling off period.
Bandwagon bear.
You said it earlier. I saw it. I'm in lockstep with you on that.
Lock him up.
2 weeks.
You can't just go around breaking vacuum cleaners, man. I mean, this is a civilized society that we've tried to create for ourselves.
What, one of them Kirby vacuum cleaners or whatever it is?
Hey, I mean, it wasn't a Dyson if it was $250. I'm not even saying lock him up. He just needs, you know, he needs to stay at his house and think about himself for a couple of weeks, about, you know, being a nicer person.
I think you're being too soft on him. Execute Willie Gay.
Go!
Make an example of him. For too long.
I've been playing football for a couple of weeks.
For too long, we've allowed these common household appliances to just be treated like dirt. No longer. No longer. Folks, the docket is brought to you by Fox & Farmer Attorneys at Law. Whether you've been in a car or motorcycle accident, need workman's comp, or need help with your Social Security disability, you're going to need the best lawyers and the best law firm on your side. That is Fox & Farmer, offering free consultations to discuss your case and answer any questions you may have. Fox & Farmer's got over 100 years of combined experience helping East Tennesseans just like you get the settlements they deserve. Don't settle for less. Call on Fox & Farmer today, 865-531-9400, 531-9400, or visit them online at foxandfarmer.com. That's Fox & Farmer Attorneys at Law. They win for East Tennessee. Graham on Twitter says, did we get beat out by Pole Assassin for Nayor?
Oh.
I hadn't even thought about that facet.
Is that dude still there?
I think so.
Or did he get fired?
I think he's still there.
I don't think he got fired.
But I'd tip of the hat to Sarkisian on that.
Is he still with Pole Assassin?
I'm sure, with her emotional support monkey.
Do you use that for recruiting purposes?
Yeah, this is a monkey that bit the the fifth grader's head.
Apparently it was its his hand. It wasn't the head like it originally got put out to be.
Just people trying to make a mountain out of a molehill when it comes to Pole Assassin.
Wow, since we're just ending up on the docket here, a trader sent us a text. They apparently found a mountain of meth today in Mobile, Alabama. Imagine that.
In Mobile?
Would have never thought that meth would be a, you know, popular drug down in Alabama.
Roll down tide.
I mean, meth is, anywhere there's backwoods, there's meth.
You ever seen it, Jake?
Have I ever seen meth?
Yeah.
I did walk up on a meth lab.
You ever smoke meth?
No.
You can admit it here.
No, I've never smoked meth.
You were in the military. That cancels it out if you ever smoked meth.
No, I never smoked meth.
I believe you. Travis says, when I judge Barnes, I do it based on what he's done at Tennessee. I don't give a crap what he did at another school in a completely different conference. And when I judge his body of work at UT against other coaches, he ranks fourth all time. I mean, I don't particularly care what he did at Texas either. I mean, I think that a lot of people, they're looking at it through two lenses. First of all, we're looking at it from just the Tennessee lens. And I get that. I get that. Again, if I'm hiring a coach now, he's at best the fifth coach on my list in the league. But if I'm just asking who is the best coach, like when you had the conversation, who's the best basketball coach of all time? What, you're talking about Phil Jackson and Red Auerbach and
John Wooden.
John, you know, who? Yeah, exactly, right?
Dean Smith.
So you're talking about their entire bodies of work. You're not saying Phil Jackson when he was with the Lakers or Phil Jackson. No, you're talking about Phil Jackson and his. You judge the whole thing.
Guy that's got, 11 championships?
Yeah, and you don't hold his
Pat
lack
Riley.
Of success with the Knicks against him.
I put Pat Riley in that group too.
So when I'm talking about the best coaches in the SEC now, there are two ways of looking at it. The whole body of work, yes, Barnes bashers. If I'm hiring a coach now, I'm not hiring Rick Barnes over Bruce Pearl or Nate Oates or any of the rest of them. Those guys, man, they've got a way, and this is what I think Barnes is – and I think he's aware of this, man, and I think he's working on it. I really do. And I think he's trying to answer – these questions, but when I watch Pearl and Oates and Will Wade and Eric Musselman, they have this knack for getting the most out of everyone on their roster. Yeah, they've got their stars that play well, but even the guy that comes in for 12 minutes a game, like, they've got that guy's roll down, and he does what he does. And he's confident. And I think one thing that Barnes has struggled with and is struggling with is, yeah, the stars are usually pretty good. They'll play for you, although this year that's been up and down, which has been a problem. But we've got a couple of guys that play, and this has been a pattern with him since he's been here, where some of those guys come in there and they're just not confident, man.
Well, and they don't produce anything. I mean, those guys that you're talking about getting 12 minutes, they come in and they play tough defense for Pearl and those guys, and they score. They hold up their end of the deal. They come in, they score points, and they play defense. We've got guys that come in and not only do they not score, I mean, it just makes everything worse.
I'll tell you what is a fascinating thing to ponder.
Okay.
Victor Bailey.
All right.
Right. We've seen him light it up in a couple of games here, and he was pretty good at Oregon, and now he's just a broken player. What do you think? You think Pearl or Oates would – you think he'd be broken there, or do you think that they would find a way to get him going?
I think Bruce Pearl would. Bruce, that's one thing. Pearl's coached some of the better three-point shooters that have played in the league. I mean, going all the way back to Lofton and Juwan.
So what is that? Why can't Barnes do that?
I don't know what it is that Bruce Pearl, what it is about the way he coaches or what he does or, you know, or how he coaches his guys, but he's an elite three-point shooting coach.
You think Barnes is just too negative, just beats guys down with criticism, nitpicking every little thing instead of building them up?
Probably.
That could be it because, I mean, you got to think about how different guys are now compared to what they were 10 years ago.
But
guys now, you know, don't, I mean, take a lot of criticism well.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, you're good, man.
I was just going to say it's almost unfair to compare people to Pearl in that respect because he may be the best in the business at just naturally knowing how to develop and nurture players and know when to go at them hard, when to not going, you know, he's just really good. That's his biggest strength.
Well, I think Barnes, to his credit, I really do. Maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like he's developed some self-awareness about this. And like I've detected a more encouraging tone with the media. And then after in these games, he's not jerking guys as quickly as he once did. And that's got to be killing him because, you know, after every turnover, after every bad shot, he just wants to put a guy on the bench. And he has not done that since the LSU game.
Well, no, and it really doesn't fit with his whole, you know, he talks about it a lot, the life change that he had and his philosophy about, you know, what he wanted to get out of coaching. And he didn't want to do certain things anymore because he wasn't really proud of it. But he's still, in some ways, still coaching as hard as he did back when he was doing the other stuff where that all went together.
But they showed the footage of him getting into it with Dean Smith.
Oh, yeah. I meant to say something earlier.
That's so, like, he would never do it. It's like a different person.
Well, yeah, that was Barnes when he was, what, in his mid-30s? I mean, you're in your mid-30s and you're in that position. I mean, he was a hot-tempered dude. He still is.
Well, I mean, Bruce Pearl's in his 50s. He's the same guy he was in his 30s, right?
Bruce?
Mike Krzyzewski's the same guy he was 30 years ago. Roy Williams was the same guy. Bobby Knight didn't change. And I'm not anti-change.
Bobby Knight's psychotic.
I'm not anti-change. I'm just everybody's different. And
I love watching that Dean Smith deal, though. It gets me fired up.
I mean, do you wish he would go back to that? Because he's hard on his players
Will
now.
Wade, absolutely.
I'll bet you he was even harder on his players back then.
Well, like when he had Kevin Durant, Booby Gibson, all those guys.
Clemson
we're going back to
George
the early
Mason.
90s. Oh. I mean, that was a different time, though, too, man. Like, kids were different. And you could coach. You could still do stuff back then, and it was just, you know.
Well, yeah, but you can't do that.
It was a norm.
Now. You can't do it now, though.
No.
Kids are too soft.
I don't know about that.
I don't think they're
soft.
I think there are plenty of players, coaches back then who were successful. Steve Fisher was successful. Jerry Tarkanian was a roll the ball out there and let him go kind of guy.
He's a funky-looking dude.
Yeah, both of those guys.
He kind of reminds me of Pearl.
Both of those guys played on the Will Wade side of the fence. But anyway, stay with
it. Now, here is the thing. I don't think for one second that Barnes doesn't care about his players every bit as much as Pearl or any of the rest of these guys.
Well, no, I think he cares about them more. I mean, that doesn't matter to a lot of people who are just winning at all costers, and that's fine, but
You pointed out that, like, his former players, you never hear his former players say anything bad about him.
No, I think those guys love him. All right, stay with us. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive.
Hungry for some mouth-watering barbecue?
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. John says, FYI, Nate Oates has Alabama shooting worse than Tennessee from three this year. I did not know that. That must be really bad. More losses, worse losses as well. Barnes has clearly been better than Oates this year. He did almost beat Oates in Tuscaloosa without – well, Kennedy Chandler was the bigger miss, probably.
Probably.
Actually, you know what? I was about
pre-COVID
to jump on
Fulkerson.
Fulke a little bit. But Fulkerson, remember, the game prior to that was Arizona when it was the Fulke of old. And he missed that game because he was sick. If he was healthy and on a roll – I mean, you got to think Tennessee wins that game.
Probably.
With Kennedy Chandler. And so, ifs and buts, I get it. And, you know, I said last segment, Pearl's the same guy. You do have to note, like, he has evolved, right? And he evolved here at Tennessee where those first 2 years when they're full court pressing and all that stuff, he wasn't doing that the last 2 years. And he was more successful the last 2 years without pressing. And they don't press a whole heck of a lot anymore.
Last year wasn't. That was kind of a letdown year.
For
Pearl.
I can't remember.
You started out the season 8-0. Oakland comes in. We lose to them. Then you go down to
college. Oh, you're talking
about
his last year at Tennessee?
Yeah. College Charleston.
Yeah, but it went – that year was crazy because of the – investigation into him
and
his
Mike
suspension and all that. Yeah. He was neutered.
Yeah.
So, I mean, things change. And I wonder about Oates, too. I mean, they played such a distinct style. It was so new and different, and nobody played that way. I wonder if it's a thing where other teams kind of adjust and catch up.
Could be.
And learn how to defend it. A little bit. And to Barnes's credit, they changed their offense this year too. Now, those shots aren't falling. It's been ugly at times, but I would much rather watch guys miss open three-pointers than contested mid-range jumpers. That's just me.
Just shooting that deep too, that means absolutely nothing.
Oh, it's awful.
Rather you drive to the basket and at least make an attempt at a dunk or a layup.
I mean, he did the right thing. It hasn't worked out yet, but he evolved. Like he had to. Let's talk to Trey. Good afternoon, Trey. You're on the Drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
Hey, fellas. I hope the check from Cracker Barrel cleared yesterday to you guys, because, my God, I just left there for dinner.
By the way, it's a final now. The poll is closed after 24 hours and some – hold on, I want to be precise on this – 1,200 votes – Cracker Barrel, 54.5% of the vote. Waffle House, 45.5%. the barrel wins the great breakfast debate of 2022.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
I mean, that's
okay.
That's how it should be. How many of those 45% too? I'd love to know our Bears alternate Twitter account.
It's crazy to me how emotional people get about this.
I mean, they're both good. They are what they are.
Now that it's over, tip of the hat to Cracker Barrel. It was a well fought battle between both sides, and it was a good one yesterday. Look forward to when we battle it out again.
It was.
What'd you have, Trey? I mean, you're not in a food coma, so you must have behaved yourself.
So, no, y'all are going to think I'm crazy. I love their pancakes. I love the breakfast. Best thing on the menu is you get the grilled chicken tenders. They're just, nobody knows about them. And you get those, you have them grill you two pieces of sourdough. You put that together with some Kobe cheese melted on top, and then you get some dumplings, and you throw like the dumplings on.
That sounds fantastic. I gotta say, that sounds very good.
I love their grilled chicken.
Yeah,
tenders.
You gotta get the sourdough grilled. Like I'm telling you, man, it's a low key like secret menu item. It'll blow your mind. The chicken tenders are marinated, and I don't know what. But they're so good, the grilled ones. And
my favorite.
It's worth every calorie. So just wanted to give a shout out to you guys for influencing that dinner today. But anyway, we got to get this NIL stuff fixed, because otherwise, like, we're so far behind. I mean, it seems like any time that becomes a factor, like, it's an L. Like, we're going to lose. And call it for what it is. I mean, like, these businesses, very few of them will see any kind of ROI on that investment. You got to have donors that are willing to just, like, piss that money away.
That is a really interesting point, and nobody talks about it. We talk about NIL as if it's just some slush fund to be distributed to athletes based on however the school wants, and that's not what it is at all.
No.
That's
basically what it is in Texas.
It's what it's becoming with these private companies that are working it out, but it's supposed to be endorsement deals, right? And when we go out and sell advertising, our advertisers expect to see results for it. That's not necessarily the case with this. They just want to see players. They want to see you get players, and I don't really care if I get a return on my investment in terms of, you know, this commercial that the guy cuts, or these Instagram posts that he makes brings in business to my store. I just want to make sure the school that I root for has the best players. That's all it is.
Well, and the only company that we've seen come out and say, hey, yeah, we made a great return on investment is Moonshine Mountain Cookies because of Alante Taylor. Their sales went up by, I think, 35-40%.
Yeah, but look what we're talking. We're talking about, I'm glad that one worked out. Seemed like a good thing for the business and for Alante, but I mean, that's not a Porsche Cayenne.
No.
And a 5-star top 5 basketball player.
No, I mean.
No.
Go ahead,
not
Trey.
A ball. I mean, sorry, Jake. I've got to hop off here in a sec, but no, you don't hear about any of those type of deals over here. From what it sounds like, you know, Fulke somehow has made more money than anyone in NIL, and I love the dude. We need to get him out of here. Like, he wants to help the university. He needs to divert some of that to the football program or somebody that can produce. But
maybe I'm not looking in the right places. Aside from a couple of Twitter pictures of him eating Pals, I haven't seen anything that he does.
Mayfield ice cream.
I haven't seen any of that.
I think he signed a pretty big deal with Mayfield.
Okay, but I mean, this gets back to what Trey's talking about, is these businesses have to be convinced that it's not, you're not necessarily, you know, we dipped our toe in it a little bit this year with Crown Cleaners specifically and Craven Wings. And these are smaller businesses like the Moonshine Mountain Cookie Company. And we're not talking about, you know, six-figure deals here.
Hey.
But they, like, those businesses wouldn't do that if they weren't getting a pretty decent return. And as I understand it, they are. But we got to get into the point where, and I think this is what you're getting at, Trey, and what it sounds like is happening in Texas. Trey had to go Audi 5000.
Yeah.
We appreciate you.
Yep.
It
no, I
sounds
think you're exactly
like these
right.
businesses are just saying, look, here's Spire Media, Spire, whatever their name is.
Spire Sports.
Here's $500,000 for the fiscal year. You do what you got to do with this, okay? You launder this money so that you can get it to the recruits. And if we get some commercials end up somewhere on TV or radio, that's great. Just make sure that we got some five stars next year. That's what
yeah,
it's got to be.
Yeah, the ones like you were referencing or, you know, I feel like Craven Wings and Crown Cleaners got a, you know, they got a good return on their investment. I don't see how they're going to make, how you make it work. It, you know, some of these figures being thrown around at some of the schools.
Well, and think about this too. I mean, you think about the companies we just mentioned, Moonshine Mountain Cookies, Crown Cleaners, Craven Wings. Those are companies that the common man can go to and buy goods or services from. You start talking about Porsche, Mercedes, all that. The common man can't necessarily go and spend $100,000 or $120,000 on a new car. You know, you got to start targeting what the common man can do or buy.
Yeah, and what they can do is go out to like a Buckethead Tavern or Craven Wings and, you know, meet players and get autographs and, you
but
know,
you're
going
to have
it
to
just
find
makes more sense.
Donors with bigger pockets who don't particularly care about the common man
yeah.
and the rate of return and just want to see their school with the best players on Saturday. So
that's the difference between Texas Oil Money and what we've got going on.
Yeah,
I mean,
evidently. All right, folks, missing football tonight. You could still turn every Thursday into a payday with NBA on TNT on FanDuel Sportsbook. It doesn't matter if you win or lose. FanDuel is giving all customers $10 back every Thursday. Just bet a $10 or more same game parlay on any NBA on TNT game. And you can find out the game schedule tonight. Looks like we've got three games. Suns, Mavs, Pelicans, Knicks, the Warriors, a 13.5-point favorite at home tonight against the Pacers. Go get your same game parlay locked in over at FanDuel. It's the perfect way to turn a small bet into a big time score, and win or lose, you're guaranteed to get $10 added to your account. FanDuel, it's easy to use. The odds boosts and specials are always on point, and the live betting adds a really interesting element of fun to the experience. And when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 2 hours. Get $10 back every Thursday, win or lose, with TNT Thursdays. If you're new to FanDuel, just sign up with our promo code DRIVE1 to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000 and make every moment more this NBA season. Again, that's promo code DRIVE1 so they know we sent you exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max bonus $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. Let's grab a call from Rex. Good afternoon, Rex. You're on the drive.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Just really concerned about what you've been saying about lack of five stars and this recent flip and the name, image, likeness stuff. And I don't see how we'll be better than 7-5 next year.
Well, I mean, you were 7-5 this year, and you've got a lot of guys coming back, and you're going to be your second year in this mm-hmm. system, and you saw what that meant for Arkansas and Ole Miss this year. They made a dramatic jump. So I think you could be better than 7-5. I think you should be better than 7-5. Now, is that 8 wins? Is it 9? I don't know. There's a lot of questions still out there about what exactly Tennessee's roster is and everybody else's roster is going to be, but I think you could make an improvement next season.
Is it possible that can you do like, you know, we have Fan Run Radio, just like a Fan Run Radio sponsored guy, and like people just give somebody money to get somebody? I mean, if Tennessee's not going to do it, can we?
We can start a fund.
Yeah, you want to pay for it?
It's always been
nice thing. Why
pretty
start
much
a fund?
accepted as fact that I would be an incredible bag man.
I will personally give you a check for $1,000. You can guarantee we beat Alabama next year.
I mean, it's going to take a lot more than $1,000, my friend.
Do I have to give you the $1,000 back if we lose?
No, I'll just do it. Let it ride. Let's get. But anyway, appreciate the show, guys. Keep it real, because the administration has been our problem over there. The administration, they don't care. They're not fans. They don't want to deal with it. 7-5 or 8-win seasons is all they're totally happy with that, and it's really disappointing. Thanks, guys.
Rex, thank you. I feel like, man, this is kind of a downer to end on. It's kind of been a downer show. It's we dealt with some bad news. Well, we dealt with some bad news. The Nayor thing was not.
I mean, it was a gut punch, but you know what? We processed it, and we're ready to
onward.
Snap and clear.
Onward. National RX tomorrow with Terry Fair. We'll talk to you then on Fan Run Radio.